A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We're here 7 to 9 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and sometimes we're here on the weekends too, Scott, but we've got a lot going on. And when I mean a lot, I mean about as many things you can have going on during a COVID-shortened anything. We've got so many things to jump into. Let's start off with the old 705 cut right here, as we always do. We'll go BYU, we'll go Utah, all right here in the first segment.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
In terms of actual breaking news today, Scott, of course, while we were getting ready for the show, Utah and Arizona State announcing that game is going to be canceled. And not to the surprise of any of us, I don't think, because Arizona State's numbers were so bad, right?
Yeah, they moved the game from Saturday to Sunday just in hopes that things would change. The problem with it, though, is if you reschedule, you have a team like Washington that knows it's not playing, and they're going to practice and prepare for Utah. So you got to give Utah a chance to say, okay, now we know our opponent's Washington because we're preparing for
Arizona State,
and you go all week long without knowing, and then they go, oh, and by the way, on Friday you guys are playing tomorrow against what? It's just not fair, so they got to let them know early.
Do you think they shouldn't play that game then?
Which game?
The Washington game. Should Utah still play it, even though Washington kind of had a little bit of a cheat?
I don't know how much of an advantage they had. Typically, you'll go 2 and 3 games out in your scouting,
right? Sure.
So they probably had a little bit on Washington, and of course they played them last year, so they'll have some understanding. But it's a huge advantage if you don't get the actual practice time, and I think Utah had plenty of time to practice and get ready for a game.
We'll get into talking about that later this hour as well, and jump into also Cam Rising, of course, being out for the rest of the year. The college football playoff rankings were released within the last hour and a half. And, boy, it was a real shock. We knew BYU wasn't going to be real far up there, but when they announced this one.
Bit of a surprise that BYU, and I referenced earlier, their schedule certainly doesn't measure up. We've talked about them a lot, the Cougars with the eye test. They more than measure up. They only have one more game left on the schedule against San Diego State. There is a possibility of adding another one along the line. But BYU, much lower than expected, and Iowa State, they're at 6-2 at number 13. Oklahoma and Indiana up at 11-12.
So you've got BYU at 14. Iowa State, a 6-2 Big 12 team at 13.
I don't care. Any team, Alex, with two losses should not be ahead of BYU. I just don't get there's
well,
no
I
way.
I don't get it.
There's no way that a two-loss
because
team
would
ever.
Because it's a great loss or what?
Yeah, it's you're just not a very good team. See, if you've had two losses.
I'm
you're
okay.
Just not.
I'm okay with BYU being a little bit further down on this ranking like this. You know, I think we thought maybe a 12
further
or
down?
13. Meaning like a – I'm okay that they're low like this in this first one. But Cincinnati needed
I'm
to
not.
Be right next to them.
Right.
I'm saying the reason that it stinks to me is that Cincinnati is at 7. That's the big problem. When Cincinnati got rolled out in that 7th spot, then you went, something's going on here. Because when they talked about strength of schedule, how basically the only thing that BYU, their massive strike against them was that strength of schedule. which of course is bad because they had to piecemeal a schedule together. They didn't say, let's put the easiest schedule together during 2020 and we'll see what happens. They had to get something going. They started in August and September to start playing football. And so they, at 9-0, have been punished to that 14 spot. Kalani Sitake got on the same college football playoff rollout of the rankings program there on ESPN. And here's what he said about that 14th rank for his Cougars.
Hey, great motivation for our guys. Love our team. Love our players. I think we play a great brand of football with excitement and passion. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do and a lot to prove, obviously, and a short amount of time. And hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, here's the thing. You look at these teams. Georgia's not that good this year. They have two losses. Oklahoma's not that good this year. They have two losses.
These are all teams above BYU in the rankings.
They have two losses. They're all above BYU. I think one of the things that was interesting is the Pac-12, because it's only had a few games with Oregon and with USC.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly way down in the rankings, and so not having a lot of games, of course, that weights.
But having a lot of games, not against a good enough opponents, also is against you. See, yeah, I think a lot of BYU fans right
Cincinnati's not that many spots ahead of BYU.
I know, on the strength of schedule. Not. That's the part to me, because Cincinnati is not a Power 5 team. They're a Group of 5 team. They are absolutely, their strength of schedule is ahead of BYU, but not by much. And so that's why I think a lot of people are scratching their heads. And BYU fans, as usual, have become victims this evening and feel disrespected.
You look at the coaches poll, Alex, and you have Alabama number one, Notre Dame two, Ohio State three, Clemson four, Florida five, Texas A&M six, which probably should be flipped around. Then you have Cincinnati seven and BYU eight. I mean, that's how
it's infuriating.
It's how it should be. Even in the college football rankings, it's just baffling to me.
The real problem is that now the thing that BYU fans have been looking forward to, and I'm looking at a text that we just got here from Nate Daddle, our boss. He said, "Hold on, BYU is behind a 6-2 Iowa State, and they lost to Louisiana. Anybody who loses to the Raging Cajuns does not deserve to be ahead of BYU." So this is the part where you start to go, where. The human error of this, and they can point at strength of schedule all they want, but the human error on all of this is a real problem where you get a group of people together that do not mind showing biases towards the bigger schools and the bigger conferences. And it's a real problem when you have to actually sit down and try to have a level playing field with these teams. That, look, BYU put together, they were playing the first weekend in September. And then everybody goes, well, yeah, but look at your strength of schedule. Navy was not a team that everybody thought was going to be a 55-3 game. People are already forgetting the Boise State game. People are already looking at that Houston game and going, don't care. BYU is 9-0. I do not understand. And, again, this is falling on deaf ears because it's ridiculous.
Here's the challenge, okay? What conference is BYU in? Who is their voice? In the competition committee, who's their voice?
Tom Holmo, and he's not in the competition committee.
Exactly. They don't have right. An athletic director. They don't have someone who, like a Ronnie Lott, who played in the Pac-12. They don't have, you know, they don't have a voice. No, they really don't. And you look at how these rankings came out and the influence of being in a conference, even Cincinnati. And whether, you know, their strength of schedule is still down there, they're still in a conference. They have some voice, some say in what's going on. And the people who have a voice, which quite frankly I thought was rather impressive, were people like Kurt Herbstreit. And some of these, I mean, they go, what's your shocking thing of the top 25?
All of them said.
They're all like, BYU, are you kidding me?
Why is BYU so far down? Every person mentioned it. Even when they had already rolled out the 4-1, they went back and they're like, Joey Galloway, what do you think? He's like, I'm actually really shocked BYU is this far down, because all of them have watched BYU play. Yeah. Reese Davis keeps talking about the eye test. Kirk Herbstreit, despite the fact that, you know, he went after BYU because he felt like they should have gone after Washington, you know, a little bit harder.
Washington never would have happened.
It would have never happened. No. Of course not. And that's why BYU already said, this doesn't feel like something's going to happen. We're not going to sign up for something we're going to have canceled and ripped out from under us.
What I'm worried about, Alex, is all these people that said, just stay pat. Just stay where you are because we're in a New Year's Six bowl. I'm not so sure
they're
about
not there.
That.
They're not
they're
there.
They're not even close
right
to
now.
Right
they're
now.
Not there.
Nope.
You got to add
and
two games.
They got one game left.
You got to add two more to the one on top of the one you're playing. You got to play 12 games and go 12-0. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Listen to more of Kalani's comments. He even addresses the Washington issue. They're not backing off of anybody. Stay with us.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, Nate Dowdle, who sent Alex a text, sent another text. Nate is our boss, by the way, and he's a good boss. We love Nate, but
we haven't seen him for months, but no, we love him.
we almost forgot his name. It's like Nate. Who's I know that name sounds familiar. No, so Nate's a huge Utah fan, right? Like. He's one of, you know, he's a passionate Utah fan. And he just sent another text that said, look, you know how I feel about BYU, but this is ridiculous. And it really is. It's like, and what makes it ridiculous? It's not that BYU, I think if Cincinnati isn't there, like you said, Alex, it's that Cincinnati has so much respect.
Yeah.
And BYU doesn't.
And it's a couple of two-loss teams in front of them. It's the quality of, like, people in front of them, too. And it's really asking them to go back and adjust their strength of schedule on something that they had no control over. Yeah. Their schedule got blown up by the Pac-12, essentially. I mean, and the Big Ten, right? They had a couple of games in there. And so someone goes, yeah, but look how terrible their schedule is. Just playing a bunch of cupcakes.
But,
and I'm going,
look how
those
they
are the only games.
Teams.
Yes, and those are the only games that were available, by the way. Pac-12, thank you. And so when you roll that out as your criticism, here are the real problems with BYU being ranked 14th in this college football playoff ranking. The ability to be able to move up, like you needed to start at an 11 or a 10 to be able to get inside maybe that 10 at some point. But now you've got only one more game on the schedule. You've got only one chance to make that your case made. And guess what? It's on the 12th of December. So you're going to have a couple more of these rankings roll out next week, the week after, and then they're going to have to play a game after that to try to impress the powers that be, who obviously are not impressed by BYU's strength of schedule. I don't know why Cincinnati has become such a darling. This year, Cincinnati has never been one of those that is getting the respect that they're getting now. So
can I talk about someone's schedule here, Alex?
And
this infuriates me. Okay, it really does. This team is Alabama, okay, and Alabama played Missouri, who garbage, and they won 38-10. They played Texas A&M. They beat 52-24.
Who's the number five team, by the way?
Right. They beat Mississippi State. Oh, I'm sorry, Mississippi.
Right.
Who's not any good.
But Mississippi State put 800 yards on them that game.
Right. They played Georgia, who's lost twice. Okay, not very good. They played Tennessee, who not very good.
But again, Scott, this is the SEC, and so we give them a pass.
But I don't care.
It's the SEC.
This is my whole point, Alex. Is I'm really tired. I'm just so tired of the arrogance. And look, I know the SEC puts guys in the pros. I get all of that. And quite frankly, a lot of these teams that put guys in the pros from the SEC, these really good teams, they're not good pros. They were good athletes. They were just better than everyone. But they don't end up being great pro football players. So it doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what Kalani Sitake also said on ESPN. Because now you're putting, if you're BYU, you got to start putting up billboards in SEC country, in Pac-12 country, anywhere. Because, and again, the Washington thing, he'll explain a little bit as well. But this is what Kalani said about playing opponents on the rest of their schedule here, as they only have the 12th of December against San Diego State on there.
And to be honest with you, we have 2 weeks left that are open, December 5th and December 19th, that we're willing to play football. And, you know, if there's anybody that are actually have an availability to play those games, we would love to do it.
Isn't that amazing that in 2020 you're going and the college football playoff rankings come out and they go, hey man, put us on your schedule, get us, work us in. The problem is that people are now going to be afraid to play BYU too, because they know BYU's got a chip on their shoulder. They know that BYU is better than 14. And they know, and so they don't see something that is viable for them to be able to play. If you can add a couple more teams onto these schedules, if you can get Cincinnati on the 5th of December, which has an open date on that week, if you can get on the 19th maybe a Marshall or somebody who has a small number next to their name and that could make that difference for BYU. Because if it's the strength of schedule they're talking about, it's really hard to get that strength of schedule worked out if you're not going to have – because BYU, any Pac-12 team that comes up and approaches them, the same thing is going to happen with Washington as it happened with that team that comes to them as well. It's about the timeline. It's about where it is. Here's what he said about the Washington game and whether or not they're trying to avoid the Huskies.
I mean, I don't know all the details. You probably have to talk to Tom and talk to them, but – I don't know where this narrative started that we were hiding or waiting. I just want to crush that right away because we practice. We're ready to play them. You know, we're looking forward to the game and really confident in it.
So it's on the schedule. They were like, we're willing to play that game. We're willing to figure that game out. The problem is exactly what's happening right now. The Utah and Washington details are probably being ironed out right now, I would imagine, to play that game this weekend.
Well, Coach Whittingham said that I mean, he addressed the Washington situation. He said, "Look, our game is canceled with Arizona. You know, we're practicing. We've actually worked some on the on Washington. The game will be, if we play Washington, the game's going to be on Saturday. So there Utah's preparing for Washington. That's going to happen. Look, the game it's just silly the whole discussion because the Pac-12 they've set a parameter that's virtually impossible for someone to schedule a game. It just is, and so really all the Pac-12's was doing was lip service, which they always do. Pac-12 doesn't want to play football. They really don't. They just want it to kind of, we're going to make appearances, we're going to look like we really want to do this, but we really don't. I mean, they have shut down. I mean, Utah has had 3 of its 4 football games shut down, and you're just going to continue to see this throughout the season. And I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, and I'm not saying it's right either. I'm just saying it is what it is, because I don't know what this virus is, and I don't think anyone knows. And you know, clearly there's an uptick in everything that's going on. But the whole banter about Washington and BYU is just—it's nonsense. It's just—it's silly talk. It's stupid. It's meaningless.
Here's what else Kalani had to say. He addressed local media afterward also about the same topic of that where they are in the rankings. They must be just massively deflated too, seeing that they were at 14. And that Cincinnati was up at 7, but here's what Kalani said about his guys.
I mean, my phone's blowing up ever since. I just love them, so I'm going to fight for them. You know what I mean? And I want to make sure that everybody that they're represented well. And I think that got through in the show.
I hope that that's the case. I hope people do go. Look, I hope the Cincinnati's and the Marshalls of the world go. This is a year where we can get somewhere. We can get a little bit further. If we do put some higher-ranked teams on the schedule, we have the ability. No other year are you able to say,
here's the problem.
Let's custom make a schedule right now.
Here's the problem right now. So BYU doesn't have a voice. So and a lot of people are speaking out, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, it's a shock where they are. I mean, even if they're at 10 or 11 or somewhere there, you know, 9, they really should be somewhere in the top 10 in the country. But here's the challenge. BYU's not going to play till the middle of December. They're going to have another college ranking that's going to come back next week. BYU's going to do nothing. Now, what will happen is the cannibalism, because some of these teams are going to play each other, and that's going to continue to happen. And you see that. You see that all the time.
Right.
Notre Dame, you know, they're going to play. You're going to have the only team is Texas A&M, really. I mean, and Cincinnati. I mean, those, you know, but the rest of these teams are going to fight each other. But BYU has got to schedule games. They just have to. Otherwise, they're going to have next week and the next week, and they're just going to become irrelevant. And that's just how this thing moves. It's just so quickly and so fickle, and it changes so fast. And if you don't stay up with it, and if you don't make yourself relevant, you're gone. You're irrelevant. And so it's really, really important to BYU just something.
It's a real shame considering how much effort BYU's put in. And how much college football has benefited from BYU staying nimble and playing at the beginning of the year when no one else did.
You wonder if this is about 1984.
I wondered the same thing. I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to let you do it. And all the texters. All right, we'll take the break here. When we come back, Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, is going to join us. Cam Rising's situation, of course, being out for the season, and what this weekend looks like with ASU canceled. and the possibility of Washington being added as well. We'll ask Bill where they're at in some of those negotiations as well. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the program. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Yes, we are working through one of the more interesting sports news days on a Tuesday before Thanksgiving that we've had. Of course, COVID helps provide some of those weird things that we just keep seeing where teams are, you know, kind of dealing with what they're going to have to juggle schedule-wise. The University of Utah, of course, and their Arizona State game having been canceled. And now the question is, what happens this weekend? Joining us right now, the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, joining us on the program. Bill, first, how was it calling the first game with Scott? How did he do?
Well, Scott was fine. The game itself was just weird. I mean, it's the first one we had called without fans in the stands. I know other people have done it, but it was just – It just had a weird vibe. I mean, even Kyle Whittingham said as much on the post-game show with us. He said he didn't notice it until there were timeouts, and then it was just eerily quiet.
Yeah.
So,
and I think
it was good to call the games, but it was just weird. The vibe, especially when you're used to 47,000 people screaming and to have nothing, was weird.
And I think that was a little bit of a surprise that he even noticed that, because he's the type of person, next man up, you know, we don't care what's going on. We're going to focus and play football. But it did have an impact on him, and he did notice it, and he mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, he said, during the game you're locked in, but he said, you know, head coaches don't do a lot at timeouts. It's assistant coaches, coordinators, things like that. So head coaches kind of pop their head into the thing, and you know, they walk around a lot. And I think that's where he probably noticed it quite a bit. So we're going to have another weird one this Saturday probably with calling it remotely. So
well, and that's
on the list.
That's what we were wondering about, was just, we haven't seen a note yet from the Pac-12, and I'm assuming they're trying to work out all the details of what that looks like. But Washington, of course, available this weekend. Utah now available this weekend. What are the odds that game is going to happen, and will it likely be played in Seattle then?
I would bet your rather sizable KSL paycheck, Alex Keery, that they are playing Saturday night at Husky Stadium or whatever they're calling it now, American Airlines Stadium. The house that Don James built will be where they're playing Saturday night. I would put it at about 98% right now.
Well, so now that the season started, what kind of expectations, you know, clearly they have to be tempered and changed. What do you look at this season, and what would be a good expectation for the rest of this season for Utah?
Playing the rest of the games that are scheduled.
Just playing the game. Just getting all the games.
Seriously,
in.
I really believe that. Their odds of winning the Pac-12 South are, I mean, almost non-existent now, because number of games, and USC's won three, and they're 3-0, and ASU. So, to me, improve every week, win some games. I don't think they'll play anybody. Although Washington's pretty good. Their defense is pretty good. But to me, it's just get the games in and kind of get better every week. And I think – you know, I think that's the expectation now, and maybe win a few of those games, and then get tuned up for this. To me, is almost like a tune-up for next fall.
Bill, one of the things that we, of course, found out this morning was Cam Rising is going to be out for the rest of the season, and Kyle Whittingham only talks about injuries if they're going to be out for the rest of the season. Details are that it's just a season-ending injury, and so what does that do for him? Is this a year that you just go, well, everything's been wild? All these players are able to basically throw this year away and start fresh next year. So, but what does that do impact-wise on the team right now with having Jake Bentley being your guy and Drew Liss the backup?
Well, right now I don't think it's a huge deal, because Jake Bentley started 33 SEC games. I think the bigger impact's next fall, and I think Scott would agree. This was going to be Cam Rising's time. Saturday night was the first snap he's ever taken in college football. And he got about a quarter in, and then he suffered an upper torso injury. That's what Kyle said tonight on the coaches show with me. I think it's a big deal. I don't know about you, Scott. I don't know if Jake Bentley's coming back this fall, because he's got a lot of time in. I don't know if he's made that decision yet. But to me, Cam Rising was the future, and he was going to get, you know, six games in now and then be ready to go for the fall. So I think it, depending on what Bentley does, but I think it hurts Cam Rising's development, Scott.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, as a quarterback, you can't replace game reps and just the situations you get into. And you find when guys go through it once, then the next time they see that, they improve and they're better. And I've always felt like this season at its best would be glorified spring practice with some real games mixed in. So I'm not surprised by what's happened. What will be nice though is this young defense is really good, and they got a lot of talent, and they'll massively benefit from this. And you've got some young offensive linemen playing, and you've got a lot of talent on your offense. So even though Cam Rising will be hurt by this, and he will, I totally agree with it, the rest of this team is really going to get a great opportunity to develop and really be a solid football team next year. And hopefully Cam Rising can kind of catch up to that, and that team can maybe carry him until he really gets going.
Yeah. To your point though, Scott, I think the offense this week will be better. I mean, you know, it's tough to come in cold off the bench. You're not getting first team snaps. I talked to Jake tonight on the coach's show, and he was really forthright. I mean, he didn't make any excuses about it, but when you're the number two quarterback, you don't get the reps, and he hasn't gotten the reps in 3 or 4 weeks. And so I think him just being prepared for the game and the team having played a game and everybody being a little bit more in sync. Washington's good. Their defense is real good, but I would be very surprised if we didn't see a markedly improved offensive effort this Saturday night.
Well, you saw what happened with Jason Shelley a couple of years ago. He came in against Arizona State, and he looked really bad. He looked way out of sync. And then when he got reps and got more game time, he got a lot better. So yeah, I would anticipate that as well.
If you look at where Utah is right now and what to quote unquote get out of this season, I know that's something that keeps kind of coming up. But when you saw, I guess everybody wanted to know how the offense was going to do, and they thought that the defense was going to be the thing that struggled the most, but what were you encouraged by, Bill, when you watched this game on Saturday and you went, okay, there obviously five turnovers is gonna put you behind against a USC team almost every time. But what is it that you said, you know what, I kind of like X, Y, and Z from this game?
Well, the young players were really good. I mean, they didn't give up any big plays. A year ago, you had a bunch of NFL guys playing. They gave up a bunch of big plays against USC. I thought the young players, Alex, especially in the secondary, look good. Utah's pass rush. Scott even made this comment to me the other night. He goes, you know, as good as that defensive front was last year with Anai and Fotu and those guys, you know, this unit has a chance to be better. And I agree with him. They've got so much defensive end talent, Kafusi and Fillinger and Tupai'i and Tafua. And the linebackers were good too. You know, Nephi Sewell, one of the Sewell brothers, yeah, came in and, you know, from safety to linebacker and made a bunch of plays, scoop and score touchdowns. So, and then on offense, there wasn't a lot. I mean, arguably, but that freshman Ty Jordan from Texas really impressed me. They didn't get him the ball enough. Kyle said it again tonight on the coach's show. We need to get him the ball more, but he was, to me, one of the few bright spots on the offense. So I think there's plenty to like. I really do. I think there's plenty to like.
Bill, we're looking forward to the to a Utah game this weekend. And I hope that you guys have another one to call, and keeping our fingers crossed that this season stays semi-normal from here on out. So thanks for joining us. And happy Thanksgiving, Bill. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Taking the break here. When we come back, hey, it's our MVPs. Yes, we've got some, even on a grumpy-filled night here at the KSL Broadcast House. We've got more to go. Stay right here with us. Silver linings straight ahead right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell here and Alex Curie over there. We've got the valley covered. All right, we've got you in Salt Lake County. We have you covered. I'm on the south, he's on the north. Mm-hmm. And you can't go anywhere. You cannot get away from us. But I was thinking, Alex, about Thanksgiving. And one of the great traditions about Thanksgiving for me, of course, was playing on Thanksgiving Day. And it was a massively advantageous.
Advantageous, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for helping me. I don't know why I attempt big words. I don't even know what they mean anyway. It was a big deal, okay? It was a big deal that we played. It helped us.
It was an adventure, I guess you should say, yeah.
It was a massively big adventure. So, Moira. But here, what was interesting, and it happened every single year when I played in these games. There's an intensity to an NFL game. There's like a speed to it, and it's hard to describe, but it's super fast. In the first part of a game, is almost like it's an insane speed, right? It's just because everyone is just at their peak,
right?
You know, all these guys have come out of the locker room and they have all their substances that have encouraged them and helped them to play as good as they possibly can be. So everyone is just peaked, right? Well, in the Thursday games, these guys are still recovering, and the speed was totally different. It was way different, and it was always, and it happened every single year.
So you played on a Sunday, and then you
played on Thursday.
It'd be an ultra short week, and the benefit was, you got the 10 days off from the Thursday to the next Sunday after.
But what you also got was you didn't have to travel. So these guys are tired and worn out. And there's a wear factor on traveling. And it's been proven. I mean, especially if a team has to come from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Well, especially if you forget your neck pillow. You know, that's a problem. And
it is.
There's all sorts of things.
Dehydration, crazy stuff. And so it was always fascinating to me. And I was just sitting here. And it just kind of popped into my mind, you know, because it's like, it's, you know, I know it's Thanksgiving's in a couple of days, and it was such a big part of my life when I played. You know, it was one of those special parts of playing in the NFL for me was that Thursday Thanksgiving game, because there was only two games,
right?
And you were one of them, but it was just always struck me every time it happened. And it was a huge advantage for us.
Well, and speaking of traveling and advantages and short weeks, while we went to the break here, the Pac-12 made it official. And Scott, the University of Washington and the University of Utah are going to be playing on Saturday night, 8:30 p.m. Doesn't matter to you because you're not traveling.
Well, it does matter, but okay. It's a long day.
Those 8:30 did. No, I've done it. I had to be on
the pregame. We do the game, and then we do the postgame.
And I remember getting done with postgame after those 8:30 shows, and I would stay till the bitter end because we were cutting stuff up, and I was the one going, see you later, everybody. And then it was like 2 a.m. I'd be driving home, and I'd go, this is not the way that a human should live.
It's painful.
That being said, it is the Pac-12. Here's the actual statement. So this is breaking news right now because it happened within the last 8.5 minutes here. The schedule. This is the Pac-12 today on November 24th issued the following statement regarding the recently scheduled Utah at Washington football game. So the Utes are going to have to get on a plane, and this is the 24th, and the game is being played on the 28th. This is where we are in 2020. This game was not on the schedule. These teams were not scheduled to play each other. And Washington is going to be hosting Utah, an 8:30 p.m. kickoff here, Mountain Time. And the scheduling of this game is consistent with the conference's commitment to provide opportunities for the student-athletes to go through maximum scheduling flexibility while prioritizing health and safety.
Yeah.
So, Scott, there you go. The Utes and the Huskies are going to be playing. Now,
it's an interesting development in that, look, you've got – the Pac-12 that came out and said we're trying to be flexible with our schedule, and they've now had a situation come up where it's actually going to benefit two teams, which is a good thing.
I think it is. I'm glad that there's going to be a game this weekend for the Utes. That's the thing that matters the most to me. When Kalani said it tonight, he goes, look, I love these players so much. Like, I just want them to have the best experience possible. These coaches want these experiences for their players. They want to see these guys play. They've put so much work into it. So I think that's part of it. Jumping right in here, Scott, it is that time of the night. We've got some time here to jump into our MVP, so we might as well do it.
Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
Scott, what's the worst side on Thanksgiving? The one that you see and you go, I don't know why people still like this.
Cranberries.
Yeah. The jellied ones real. It doesn't matter.
Cranberries.
When people are like,
I never understood cranberries ever. And, this cranberry dressing is amazing.
Well,
and
put it on the sandwich.
I mean, it's just,
put it on a sandwich later. I'm like, that's even worse. Sounds worse.
there's a restaurant, Capriotti's. They have a Thanksgiving sandwich.
And they put cranberry on it?
And they put stuffing and they put turkey. And you know what? It's a pretty good sandwich.
Yeah. I will say my father-in-law's stuffing, amazing. It's actually better than it because he does it in a pan in the oven.
Yeah.
And he kind of – because what you get with that is you get crispy stuff. You get more crispy edges on the stuffing. Because you don't want
that. You put in the turkey, you get sick from.
Yeah, it only gets up to about 80 degrees. Yeah, it's like beach sand. It doesn't get that hot. All right, my MVP for tonight is not a side dish, but it is Mark Pope, BYU's Mark Pope.
Oh,
you know why, Scott?
Tell me.
They extended his contract all the way through 26 and 27. BYU jumping in on this thing. They know this guy is all in. They love this guy.
I like Mark Pope.
He loves BYU.
Like what he's doing.
And I'm glad he got re-signed today. Here's the MVP part for me. He said, I'm not going to take any raises or anything until we figure out this COVID stuff.
Good for
him. Re-signed his contract, said I'm not going to increase my pay until we figure this thing out.
There are people that are like people, you know, and they say things, but he's a doer. He's a guy you just get a sense from. He gets stuff done. He's a committed guy, and he's very principled in what he does, and so, yeah, that's awesome.
That's my MVP for tonight.
Like it. You want mine?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll give you this really quick. Mine is Marshawn Lynch.
What?
For multiple reasons.
Yes! Okay?
So, here one is, he gave out 200 free turkeys in Hawaii prior to Thanksgiving.
That's
so
tough finding all those birds in Hawaii, too,
well,
man.
Right, and the 200 free turkeys is one thing, but doing it in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go and like, be kind... Why not, you know, do it in a place like Hawaii?
Yes.
So he was at this grocery store, and he basically was handing out all of these turkeys to people, you know, just ad hoc. I mean, he was just, here you go. There.
So now my thing is with this. This is what I love about this, too. You and I both, you've been to Hawaii. I made the mistake of buying a gallon of milk in Hawaii. It was like $7.90.
You had to take out a mortgage to buy the milk.
It's like, what is it? So I would only imagine that unless there are massive turkey farms there in Hawaii, those are expensive birds. So on top of the fact that he's being generous, that's beast mode, man. Beast mode's got to go all in on everything.
Right. So turkeys are more expensive, and it's in Hawaii. When we come back, I've got to tell you, though, about like a prank they did on rookies with turkeys.
I love this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an Ask Scott Anything segment coming up next. It's going to involve Thanksgiving. It's going to involve the pranking and or hazing of rookies. I don't sign off on that, Scott, by the way. Come on. You can't beat up on the guys. Okay. Yeah. We're taking the break. We'll come back. Jeremiah Jensen also joining us next hour. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, it's been a lot going on this show, hasn't it?
It really has.
You think about BYU and the college football rankings and them coming out at 14, how disappointed BYU fans have been. Had Bill Riley on last hour talking about the Utes and whether or not a game against Washington was going to happen. He said, yeah, it's going to happen. And while we were in that break, it happened. So Utah and Washington playing one another this Saturday evening, 8:30 p.m. So they're at least playing, and that's a good game too. It's not like they're signing up and they got to play Wazoo or Oregon State. No offense to those fine institutions, but UW is. I mean, they've won the big or the Pac-12 two out of the last 3 years. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal to be playing the Huskies. And while they're not in their top form either, their defense is really good. I watched that Arizona game late last Saturday and middle of the day Saturday. That's a good Husky defense. So I'm interested to see what the Utes are going to do to prepare for those guys. In the meantime, though, Scott, we got to jump into something a little bit more fun, a little bit more it's holiday mood stuff. All right. So let's do a Ask Scott Anything segment.
KSL's Unrivaled. ASA. Ask Scott Anything. Insider questions. Candid answers. Nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott Anything.
All right, so I'm gonna start off with something you teased right before the break, Scott. What is this thing that you used to prank the rookies with that had to do with turkeys? This is at Detroit, then, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Because you guys were the Thanksgiving team.
So what? And it backfired.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of this thing where
it was a one-time deal.
What they would tell all the rookies, because these guys are, you know, a lot of them are like, well, what do you do for Thanksgiving and, you know, all this stuff. So they said, you go to this this grocery store, and it was sent. They sent them out like in the middle of nowhere, right?
Right.
And they said, you know, there's a free turkey. You get a free turkey for Thanksgiving.
Right.
So a bunch of these rookies go out to this store, and they show up, and they're like, hey, we're
Detroit Lions.
Right.
And we're here for that free turkey.
We're here for the free turkeys. Right? So the store goes, well, let me go talk to my manager. Because, you know, I
don't know about it, but
it
sounds great.
We weren't prepared for this, but yeah, I mean, yeah. Sure. You know,
And they look at him, and they're going, no, I recognize him. He's a rookie this year. Yeah.
Yes. So they go, and they go and get the manager, and the manager is like,
over the moon.
Well, oh, shoot. Okay. Then I guess we'll get you the turkeys.
Right.
So they end up giving them turkeys, and they gave them extra turkeys.
Oh, my
goodness.
To
take back to other players, yes, who weren't able to.
Can I get a turkey for my grandma? I'm going to send it to her. She's in Mississippi.
So all these rookies show up with these turkeys. Like, hey,
and
what,
you guys, you are know, going, where'd you get them?
Oh, man.
And somebody had to have made – did somebody make the grocery store owner whole at least? Did the Detroit Lions
– I really don't.
Because that's where you know, Matt Gephardt shows up and goes, did you take the turkeys – from this store, like KSL Investigates goes hard after the professional football players whose salary exceeds more than $1 million stole turkeys from the under the guise of getting quote unquote free turkeys this year. Like, this whole thing, if it was 2020, would be really weird, because they'd be like, hey, the Detroit Lions are at my store and they're taking these turkeys. They said that they get free ones this year, and I don't know what to say. So I hope the Ford family made
that. Yeah, that's too much of a sophisticated question, Alex. we didn't think that far, right? We were just like,
you guys are bums.
I wasn't involved in this. I'm just going to say that
bums.
Right now.
I'm sure someone took you it. Had one of your one of the I don't know, is it your best career day as a professional football player on a Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving, yeah.
What was the – was this against the Cowboys? No. Sorry. This was a Vikings. This was a divisional matchup, wasn't it?
There's so many games. I just get confused.
Tell me what – tell me – you. But this one won't confuse you, because something tells me you're going to
against the Minnesota Vikings.
So tell me
1995.
What – 1995. Tell me what happened. 1995, Minnesota Vikings. Tell me what happened.
So the thing that – well, I got a turkey leg at the end of the game.
Oh, one of those John Madden ones?
The John Madden ones, yeah.
Those are rife with – those are just absolutely chock full of bacteria, by the way.
Oh, I don't know if they are or they aren't, but I will just tell you this. They were good.
Oh, they was good?
Yes.
I just imagined it was just for window dressing.
No. It was a lot better than actually what I thought it was. A whole lot better.
So it's like it always looked to me like it was one of the, you know, the
I'm going
to
say
Disneyland smoked turkey legs. That's what
I'm gonna
it looked
say
like.
Say that that was the biggest surprise for me
as a professional athlete
on Thanksgiving. Yes. Oh. the
turkey leg lived up.
It was, yes. That's better amazing. Better than actually anticipated.
See, now that these are the kind of little things that you would have never anticipated, because at some point he started making those like super turkeys that had like nine legs on them.
A turducken is what it was called.
Right. He would have all those. He would put all those turkey
the duck,
legs.
The duck thing kind of is kind of gross.
Yeah,
me,
I don't like duck either. Yeah.
I mean, I if duck's done right, duck's good, but I don't know.
You know, you and I still actually need to go out and
well, it's a turkey, a duck, and a chicken.
You know, yeah, I got you.
Start of a good joke is what that is.
We still haven't bagged any ducks together while hunting.
Oh, we should go do that.
I know. We need to still figure that out. All right. Scott, on Thanksgiving, what was the thing that you liked the most as a professional athlete on Thanksgiving, aside from being able to play, things like that? Like, did you guys just have amazing spreads and things like that?
Oh, yeah. They had a meal for us the day before. So it was just, it was such a frantic week because everything is just, it's just sped up, right? So they always, they had these amazing chefs who worked for the, you know, they fed us lunches and breakfast right. and all that. And they would make this Thanksgiving feast that was phenomenal. Mm. Oh, it was so good. And if they, it was just a fun, festive time. You know, you'd have the high school state championships in Michigan over the Thanksgiving holidays. It was just, it was, Thanksgiving was a very, very festive time.
Well, and you have a lot of guys who come from all different parts of the country. None of them are going to be at home for Thanksgiving. You're all together for Thanksgiving because part of the tradition is if you're a Detroit Lion, you're playing on Thanksgiving. So that must have been fun, too, where everybody kind of gets together and goes, man, I miss my mom or my grandma's cooking, but... to be able to kind of all get together as a team.
Speaking of mom's cooking,
mm-hmm.
we'd always travel and play places, right? So you go to other cities.
Yes.
And guys were from places.
Oh, yeah.
And someone's mom always showed up with an insane amount of just...
Oh, right, because they're like, mom, will you bring your chili? Oh, will you bring your...
No, it was like southern...
Oh, like, will you bring the collard greens? Oh, my...
That's some serious food. You just have no idea.
I think that we've tied ourselves down to some real garbage sides with Thanksgiving sometimes. And
why do we always talk about food on our show?
Scott, it's our duty. It's Thanksgiving week. It's our duty. Yes. We're helping out the American people with this, all right? I'm just saying, I think we could adjust our sights and adjust our sides on Thanksgiving. That's my new T-shirt. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television is going to chop up some of the crazy news from today and this week on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
Okay, welcome back. This is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie, and the none other than Jeremiah Jensen.
Mm.
KSL.
I am here.
Oh, he is there. Good. Yeah.
Oh, good.
We're doing the thing now where Jeremiah is also satellite. He's in Uzbekistan.
Oh, see, I don't feel so bad anymore. I felt like...
it's wonderful this time of year.
Yeah.
No, if you're Jeremiah's looking for a nice, affordable vacation, Uzbekistan comes highly recommended.
So, Jeremiah's in the... he's through... So, you're at your house, Scott, 20 miles away. But Jeremiah's through the glass here now, so that's the way.
Oh,
yeah.
But he's there.
Yeah, it's the new mask.
He's the boy in the bubble. Then.
Yeah, six panes of glass.
Got it.
So, Jeremiah, we've had so many things to talk about tonight.
Oh, my gosh. The last 24 hours have been insane.
Well, just even the last couple of hours has been wild, right? And so, of course, Utah and Washington, that's an official game of on Saturday. Utah's going to go up to Seattle. And that got made official just within the last 30 minutes or so. And on top of all of that, you had the college football playoff rankings where BYU fans were massively disappointed by that 14. Were you surprised more that they were 14 or that Cincinnati was 7? What's more surprising?
Surprised that BYU was 14 because Cincinnati is number 7 in the rankings, right? So the thought that they'd be 7 in the playoff rankings, not that crazy, but how does BYU go from number 8 to 14? You know, obviously, I know it's AP voters, the media versus some guys sitting in a room. I'm shocked by it. Honestly, I was very surprised. I walked in and sat down in our studio in our offices there to watch it, and I saw them come up at 14. I was like, wait a minute, what? Because I expected, I could see them knocking them down a couple spots for the schedule, 10.
Right.
I mean, bottom
I like thought 12,
rock
or something
bottom
like that.
12, right? 14,
but I was expecting to see them at 12 and Cincinnati at like 11. Like that's
sure
because I thought Cincinnati
or 11
is,
and 9 or so. I mean
yeah
right something along those joke. Lines.
To see, you can make sense of that, right?
To see two lost teams in front of BYU is really disappointing because they have this baseline. And again, this is the part that I hate: the human being sitting in the room trying to decide. They say that every week they just start fresh, right? Which is baloney because next week. Because BYU will not have played a game this weekend, they'll go, oh, well, we gave them a garbage ranking last week. Let's keep it going because we got to stay consistent with our strength
well, nothing's
of schedule.
Gonna change their mind.
Nothing's going to change their mind. So
unless everyone loses.
So now, what are the odds, Jeremiah, that BYU adds not just one but two more games to this schedule? Because Kalani all but begged people to schedule BYU.
99.9%.
You think they'll get
have
two games?
To.
Well, they
to.
Have to if they're going to be make it not even just for a playoff. Now we're talking about for a New Year's Six game.
Yeah, here's some facts. No team ranked lower than 12 in the college football playoff rankings since they started the rankings has made a New Year's Six bowl game. So BYU's not in the top 12 right now, right? And sometimes there's a team that ends up taking an auto slot that's not even in the top 12, and that takes another spot away. So BYU's got to climb up this hill, and unless they schedule one or two games, they only have a San Diego State game in December, as of right now, obviously, to change anyone's mind. And they just don't have enough of an opportunity to do that. So they
it's
have to go out.
It's a college football season away before they play San Diego State.
It feels like
it's
right?
Really, really that long.
So they have to go out and get at least one, maybe two, to even get a shot at a New Year's Six.
I wonder, because I'm perplexed by this. I'm like, where's the discrepancy between Cincinnati and BYU? I don't understand it. And so as I've been thinking about this through the show and as we've talked about it, I wonder, this selection committee, they talk about we watch every game and we pay close attention to all of this.
Right.
And I really wonder, are they really watching BYU and North Alabama and BYU and Troy and some of the schools they play? You know, now I say them, it's kind of like, those aren't very good schools. But I really wonder, maybe not in a normal circumstance, but I'm talking about right now, where it's such an unusual year with COVID and everything that's going on. Have they really watched BYU? So I mentioned earlier that I don't think BYU has an advocate on the selection committee because they're not in a conference. And I really wonder if people have really paid attention and really watched this football team because they're a very good football team.
Well, Pollock and Herbstreit called out the committee tonight on ESPN Live, basically accusing them of not having watched BYU. Because both of them said there's no way, if you've watched the film, that you would put BYU at 14 and Cincinnati at 7. It doesn't make any sense.
Every person that they'd bring on, they kept saying, tell us your reactions to seeing these roll out. And they're like not talking about whether or not Clemson and Ohio State should be swapped. They're going, I think it's kind of weird BYU's put that low. I mean, that's what's being brought up. The team who was put at 14 in this first one, it was the big, glaringly obvious weird ranking in there. I think, and just as mystifying to me, considering their past, is as the committee itself is just weird in terms of ranking sometimes, is that they put Cincinnati at 7 because they do put so much emphasis on strength of schedule. They do put so much emphasis on what they see from these guys. And it's not, Cincinnati's not a team they watch, it seems like. So to me, the 7 ranking with that 14 for BYU is just wild for me to try to figure out. And the problem is it's not going to change next week. And it's not going to change the week after if they don't start adding some games. So now I was before thinking, hey, figure out how to stay undefeated. Maybe add another game with Marshall or something. But now I'm like, get Cincinnati in there. Figure out if Texas A&M wants to play on the 19th. Because Texas A&M's looking for a way in now.
Yeah.
Not just to lose their way in. Not just for another team to lose out and for them to get in, because that might not be enough for them.
We had this conversation after that segment last night. Alex, that BYU is an attractive opponent to these teams because they are in the top 10. A win over BYU for them would help their cause.
Yes.
It's not like BYU's this unranked team on the outside looking in. They would add some cachet to any team's resume if they were able to beat BYU. So there is some incentive out there for teams like that you mentioned to schedule BYU to try to build their resume. Look, Cincinnati's not just looking for that auto group of five, they've kind of got that locked up for the New Year's Six.
Right.
Cincinnati has a legitimate chance to reach the college football playoff to get that number 4 spot if things go a certain way. They have a chance.
Right.
So there's some incentive for Cincinnati to beef up their schedule and get a better win than they currently have, because UCF and SMU, while those are good wins, that's not good enough to get into the college football playoff.
I see a real problem with Iowa State being in front of BYU in this ranking.
I see a real problem
with Oklahoma being a two-loss Big Ten team, or Big 12 team, rather.
Georgia
being in front of
two losses.
I don't get it.
Every year, teams are different, right? It's just not automatic, although you're good every year. You know, you can't just do it off your reputation. You really have to look at the team and just say, hey, you know what? You were kind of off this year, Georgia or some of these schools, and it's okay. I mean, I'm not sure that Ohio State is as good as everyone thinks they are either.
I just think that, well,
the Big Ten's down this year.
Certainly, yeah. The Big Ten has been, and now with Wisconsin and Minnesota being called off, that's those teams are out, right? Wisconsin's out of this discussion. So, Jeremiah, real quick before we get going here, 1,500 fans going to come into Vivint Smart Home Arena next year to watch the Jazz. It's not much, but it's something.
It's going to give somewhat of an atmosphere, I guess. If you're a season ticket holder, then good for you. But, I mean, I don't know. It's fine. If the health department says it's cool, so whatever. I mean, it's just I'm just glad that the Jazz are going to be playing. We've kind of gotten used to this new COVID world with sports without fans and or limited fans, so it's nothing new. I'm just glad that the NBA is getting started here around Christmas.
They need to put the most obnoxious fans in the stands. Just get the really good hecklers.
Well, that's there are some great season ticket holder fans, but I mean, let's be honest, who these tickets are going to go to for the most part. I think it's going to be those that come to be seen, if you know what I mean.
What, Robert Redford?
Wilford Brimley.
Well, all the new housewives of Salt Lake City are going to show up.
The guy from the family show or whatever.
Church Ball?
Modern Family.
Modern Family, yeah, he'll show up.
Yeah. Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell. Look, I can't even think of his name. I'm an
idiot. And then you have the Real Housewives of Salt Lake
That's
City.
What I'm saying. You got to bring
some super famous people.
There you go. Well, they'll be there.
They're super people.
They'll be there in their diamond-crusted
masks.
Talk
about obnoxious fans.
Now they're kind. They think about other people first. All right. Jeremiah, join Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 Television tonight at 10 o'clock. Get the full breakdown of BYU's.
Yeah, you got to hear what Kalani had to say tonight about all
this. Kalani going on ESPN, begging for a game, saying, hey, don't do us wrong here. Let's get a game going. JJ, thanks for hanging out, man.
You got it.
News, traffic, weather right now. We'll come back. More to go. NFL Roundup, 2-minute drill. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Quite the evening. of course, well, we got into a little bit of the disappointment last hour that BYU fans are feeling right now. I think we thought around maybe as high as 10. I think that, Scott, the most disappointing thing, and you had mentioned it earlier, was for the college football playoff rankings to come out. It's not that BYU's 14. It's that Cincinnati is up at 7. In the same rankings. And so I think that people kind of bunch BYU and Cincinnati together, which they're right to do. And you and I watched a good chunk of that broadcast, and they kept coming back to BYU even when they were talking about other teams in the top 5 and the top 10 because they were like, I'm really surprised BYU got thrown down that low. And anyway, this is sports. So,
well, it's just weird because two teams relatively equal – Cincinnati and BYU, and there's a significant difference between their rankings.
Well, it's hard to see two lost teams in front of you anywhere when you're undefeated.
It really
but
is. That's bogus.
That's a real bummer. So we'll see how this thing shakes out. But I think that in the end, we said it last hour. BYU, add all the games, get all the games you can between now and look. Add three more. Get one you can't give them this weekend, I guess. Add two more. Get one on the 5th, get one on the 19th, and just try to do whatever you can to
get. Yeah, get one on a Friday or a Saturday, and then the next Thursday.
You can just keep playing. Yeah. Anyway, all right. The NFL Roundup as we rolled out here, Scott. Now, as you, I saw something today. I rewatched the highlights, and you brought something up today because Tom Brady has been really struggling with his throws down the field. And I know that that kind of seems to
massively struggling.
I mean, like I said, I watched the highlights. I got you on the horn today, and I said, Scott, those two picks last night Tom Brady threw looked like rookie ball. Like, what was this guy doing? And you offered some insight into what Tom Brady could be going through right now. He's got to operate at a very specific place if he's going to be the most successful.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like cement. I mean, he's stuck in the pocket, and so there's not movement. You see, you have to move. I mean, it was like that back when I played. Very few throws do you ever just get to sit in the pocket and just pick them apart and just throw. There's movement in the pocket. They're sometimes having to move out of the pocket. And right now, whether it's he's not 100% like comfortable and confident in the offense, and so sometimes you get paralyzed in there, or is he really getting old because he's not moving? And what happens is guys are in his face. He's getting hit. You know, even earlier in the game, you know, he has this horrendous situation down in the goal line, and it just, you know, it just looks to me like Tom Brady is stuck. And I don't necessarily see it getting any better. I mean, this is a guy who in his career has been extremely accurate throwing the football. And what it looks like now is that he's just getting old.
Well, no one's ever thought of him as having like a rifle arm, you know?
He's got a pretty decent arm. I mean, he's got a good arm.
But no one's ever said, oh, he's throwing that 70-yard ball, or he's got this Aaron Rodgers zip on it. His thing has been precision his entire career. And so it was interesting to see last night a couple of bad throws. And I don't know. They've been real hit and miss. They've had great wins, and then they've had really bad losses and kind of head scratchers in terms of some of the throws he's made. Scott, the NFC East is, of course, shaping up to be one of the more interesting things to watch because of how terrible it is. We love to tune into terrible, Scott. That's the thing we have an obsession with terrible.
And it is terrible, but here's more drama for you if you want.
Let me hear it.
There are 6 games left in the season.
Yep.
For all of the teams in the NFC East.
They all have 3
wins.
For
every team in the NFL.
They all have 3 wins.
They all have 3 wins. In order for those teams to get to 500, any one of them, they have to win 5 of their last 6 games. So, and right now, the way they're playing, there's no way they're going to win. They're going to go 5 for 6. There's just no way. There's no way there's a team in the NFC that's going to go 5 and 6. So that means a division winner is going to win their division with a losing record. And there really needs to be like some kind of special clause or rule or subset rule or whatever situation in the NFL bylaws that says if you win your division with a losing record, you should be ineligible for the playoffs.
It's like have some respect for yourself. Your division should have some bylaws where you go, nobody in the NFC East will allow themselves to go to the playoffs. The problem is it's not that you have the losing record as much as it is that you are taking the place of a team that should be better, or that is way better than you probably. Well, at least has a better record, for sure. Sometimes it's by as many as 3 games or 4 games, and they're not making the playoffs because you won your division, and your division's garbage. So,
And it hurts. You know, it hurts a team like – I mean, really, there are only 2 teams right now that are even considered wild card teams, and that's Tampa Bay and Seattle. But Arizona's close. The Carolina, believe it or not, the Carolina Panthers are fairly close. The Vikings aren't out of it. The Bears aren't out of it. So, you know, there's a team, you know, like Minnesota or Chicago that potentially could be out of the playoffs and be out of the playoffs to a team with a losing record.
They
could end up like 10-6 or 9-7.
But think about how wild the NFL is, though, because not only is there a possibility of a 6-9-1, Eagles team getting to the playoffs. They would host the first week. They would host a playoff game against. And here's the other crazy thing.
And if you're
and they could win. It's an NFL team.
Well, yeah, but if you're a team that's like, you know, you're a wild card team and you have to go play on the road. You want to go play on the road in a place like Philadelphia because you've got a real shot at winning in a very subpar football team. And so even though they won their division, they're still, because it's hard to win on the road, and it'll be different now with the playoffs this year without the crowds. But, you know, so there is somewhat of a silver lining if you make the playoffs. It's just, in my mind, I think it's a little disingenuous for a team that has a winning record. And
all they do is, well, we're just playing by the rules here.
Right.
We're just playing by the rules.
They lose out to a team like that.
Any thoughts on how you feel like you want Philadelphia to do if they are hosting a playoff game at home?
Well, I think
you've played a playoff game at home in Philadelphia. I'm just feeling like you would have some feelings about.
Well,
never
I would
to
love
see
to
the
go
Eagles
to Philadelphia
win.
Now and play. I won't tell you that much, but it feels like to me, you know, it's going to be a team like it could be the Dallas Cowboys that win that division, and you're just sitting here going, they were left for dead. I mean, everyone's just like, oh, this is, you know, this is one and done for Mike McCarthy, and even the Washington Redskins. I mean, those teams, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Washington team actually look better than the team winning the division right now. Philadelphia does not look good.
All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Got our two-minute drill around the corner. Dabo Swinney, he won't just let it go. He's got to keep talking about Florida State. He's got to keep talking trash about the Seminoles and not playing that game last week. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, so stay right here with us. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. End of the program. It's the end of the night. So if you missed part of our show, please download the KSL Sports app. Free. Get all the content from our show and from a lot of other things related to sports.
We've tried to be positive during, some bleak times here in 2020, Scott. You're my beacon of silver lining stuff, because usually you'll find a positive in anything. That's what I love about you. I do, and look, the fact of the matter is I get a couple days off, you get a couple days off, and I'm looking forward to it, you know, and taking a little time away and trying to do it safely.
Well, everyone needs a little time away.
Yes, yes. Now, but I will say this, if I can complain for 1 second about things I'm going to miss about this weekend because things aren't normal. Turkey Bowl. Boom.
Oh.
I'm going to miss the Turkey Bowl. Slinging the old pigskin. You talk about, I know last segment you were talking about Tom Brady being cement in the pocket. I mean, that's the rule in Turkey Bowl. Turkey Bowls, I will just say this, Utahns, Turkey Bowls, avoid them this year. All right, they're not going to be,
avoid them like the plague.
Avoid them because of the plague. Yeah. Avoid them because of the pandemic. No, but it's a real bummer because those are some of the fun things that we do. The weather's going to be pretty decent, and sometimes it's actually better. The Turkey Bowl is one of the great traditions that we have, you know?
Yeah, and I love to play in Turkey Bowls. And when I played in Turkey Bowls, I had to be the designated quarterback.
Just so you could just be like, hey, I'm going to drop back. I'm not going to go too intense on this. I'm going to give you a good ball, though.
So I was the quarterback for both teams.
Yeah. Oh, you're the all-time for both.
Yes.
Then it's even.
Right.
Then you're getting the straight shot from the former.
And everyone
NFL
was fine with it. I mean.
Well, yeah, because you're getting to catch some balls from the old NFL quarterback.
And I was fine with it because, I didn't lose.
Did you wear one of the? Yeah, I know.
No, I didn't. I was always on the winning team.
And it's always like, if that's the case too, it's always like my favorite is when you count up by sevens. Even though there's no extra points being kicked.
Right.
But when somebody's like, okay, it's 84-77, the first one to 111 is the winner. It gets out of control. But I'm going to miss it.
Yeah,
but
we never got that high in our number count.
Oh, we totally did.
And I'm assuming that those are by seven numbers.
That's what I'm saying is everybody goes by the sevens, and you do. You end up having.
Hey,
you don't want to go 3-2. You want to say.
How'd you get to 111?
Well, I don't know what the next numbers are after. What is it?
I don't know.
94, 91, 98.
You just talk like Rain Man there. You just
105. Oh, no, it was 112. 112.
Yeah, see, I knew you were off by a number.
That's the Rain Man in you. I'm just saying, everybody, look, put the Turkey Bowl on the back burner. You can pull your hamstring next year. You can get that Achilles tear next year, okay? Save it for next year. All right. In the meantime, Scott, our two-minute drill is the music that we play at the end of the it's a little thing that we play. This music right here, we get pumped about talking about the last things that we talk about at the end of the show. What is the two-minute drill?
Well, let me tell you what it is. You have to hurry down the field late in the game, kick a field goal, score a touchdown because you don't have a lot of time. You got to hurry, and sometimes you don't have a timeout. Well, on our show, same thing. We have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down the field. We win the show. We win the day. We get a trophy because everyone gets a trophy today, and we go home happy with – a mask.
I was the guy who was in charge of putting the turkey bowls together.
Well, I was going to say with the turkey bowl trophy.
You know what I did? I would go to DI
and I'd buy a bunch of old trophies. And I'd get like the ones, and they'd be ridiculous. The guy bowling, right. The cheerleader one, the tall ones, two big ones. And I'd relabel them, you know, worst tackler. You know, yeah. I would have all sorts of, because you spend a buck on a trophy, you start handing out trophies at the end. You give that MVP to an 11-year-old in your neighborhood, it's the best thing that they do. It's awesome. So
I love getting trophies when I was young.
It's amazing.
I did. It was
especially a homemade one for me. You know, just like a guy in the neighborhood makes a trophy for you. All right. I want to play this Dabo Swinney audio because it's so hilarious to listen to him go off on Florida State. He's, of course, they didn't get to play this week. That actually might affect how people look at that Clemson team. Here's what he had to say. About the Florida State game getting canceled because of COVID positive player on Dabo Swinney's side, on Clemson's side of things.
What we said, we obviously don't agree. That's why it was very clearly stated that the medical groups did not agree. And I trust our medical people here.
It's one thing not to agree. You've alleged that they. You basically said they wanted to forfeit the game. Could you go?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Y'all don't listen.
Y'all don't listen.
I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. I said it should be a forfeit. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Big difference.
I know you're probably a little tired of the back and forth this between you and Coach Norvell, but I was just wondering if you had any reaction to his comments from yesterday.
This is the best part, right?
He said that football coaches are not doctors. Just wonder if you had any reaction.
I mean, we're not doctors. I'm not trying to be a doctor. I just listen to the doctors, you know. I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee. That's for sure. You know, I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach here 12. All right. You know, they've had 3 head coaches in 4 years. So decisions that they make, I'm not going to worry about. Advice from Tallahassee.
There you go. I'm not
I love.
About advice
I love the
from
reporter going. Hey, I'm sure you're really tired of this back and forth, but you know, do you have any comment about what you know, Coach Norvell said about, you know, we're not doctors and all that stuff? And it's like the reporter absolutely doesn't care if he's tired. He wants to keep stirring it up and creating the controversy because Dabo Swinney. And look. I like that people are passionate about what they do. He doesn't want to not play the game. And I'm sure he's frustrated when his people, and everyone is going to have their opinion. They're going to be like, Dabo Swinney's just insensitive about the situation that's going on here. Or he's, you know, he just doesn't respect, you know, how massive this is. And he's like, look, we've put protocols in place. We felt that we should play. I'm going to speak my mind about this. I care about what I'm doing. I'm sure Dabo Swinney's not like, you know, he's not insensitive to people and the virus and what's happening. But he just said, look, I wonder and I question because our people had different opinions about this. I just wonder if they really want to play or they really don't. Because quite frankly, Alex, I kind of question that about the Pac-12.
Oh man.
I mean, I don't get a sense that. I don't get a sense that everyone's just really fired up about playing football in the Pac-12.
Well,
the way they started the season late, how stringent their policies are, how many games have been canceled.
Which is tough because a lot
of
these
kids started like everyone else.
Yeah.
They'd be able to work through this, and we don't even want to play.
Right, and calling out or rolling out the college football playoff rankings for the first time, it would mean a little bit more than having a couple of Pac-12 teams just sort of sprinkled in there with three games played, you know, a piece. And so, speaking of games being played, Wisconsin and Minnesota was canceled. First time that game in the for the Paul Bunyan Axe has been not played in 113 years. Not even a World War stopped those games from being played. 113 years they have not they've played that game. And so that's a tough one to see go by the wayside. Scott, Patrick Mahomes. Now, this was a real tragedy, too. That's a tragedy with those two games.
This is terrible.
Patrick.
Like, I really like him, too.
I know. And you know the commercials where they're showing him with Aaron Rodgers, and they're at the steakhouse, and the whole joke is because he likes to put ketchup on his steak. Scott, he rolls even harder by telling reporters this week that he puts ketchup on his Thanksgiving turkey and Thanksgiving ham. These are atrocities that we cannot overlook. And this is a team and a man you can never cheer for when he puts ketchup on the great American turkey, Scott.
So I'm a person that's like open to things, right? And I like ketchup on certain things, and I think it's very good on certain things, like French fries, and I think it's really good on eggs. And there may even be some people that go, you put ketchup on eggs? And I mean, there's a lot of people that like that, but there are some that don't. But it's just understanding how the combination of flavors work. And ketchup just doesn't work on turkey. It just doesn't work on turkey.
You don't need to explain it, Scott.
No, I do need to explain it because
everyone on the planet knows.
How in the world?
Scott, I have kids. I have little tiny kids, and they would refuse this if I tried to roll out ketchup on a piece of turkey. So, all right, that's the end of it. We gotta figure this thing out. I'm just so upset by it. Scott, did you have fun this week?
I did.
I want you to be safe when you're traveling, okay?
You too, Alex.
All right. Be safe. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be back again. More editions of the show. You'll hear us this week. We might not be here, but you'll hear us. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We'll see you next time, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.